Hallelujah. Praise God.
You deserve the glory and the
none like you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We magnify you. Thank you for the journey of 30 days. Thank you for the journey of a whole month. And thank you for the days that lie ahead. We magnify your name and we glorify you. Let your name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, you're welcome to church. And it's so nice to be here. And we have tagged this meeting our family meeting. Hallelujah. And in family meeting, we come and we just let the Holy Spirit lead us. Not that it doesn't lead us in other meetings. Hallelujah. It's just that it's not structured so that you hear what you come, somebody sings, we sing the hymn, take the special number, then we minister. But then we give opportunity to everybody to be able to express themselves and tell of the goodness of God. And we always ask that if you have any questions concerning the teachings, you please send them ahead of time so that we can deal with them. Amen. Hallelujah. So I will greet you traditionally and say Happy New Month to you. Happy New Month to you all. Amen. And to those online as well, good morning and Happy New Month. Hallelujah. And I said something on Thursday. I said that the clock that we have designed for ourselves, the calendar that we use January to February, you know that those are not the only calendars in the world. Hallelujah. There are many more calendars. I think they say there are about 300 or something more calendars in the world. Hallelujah. We have just chosen the Gregorian calendar so that we can have an understanding and put time into what we are doing. But then God is not conformed to our own timing. Hallelujah. There is a timing for God. Amen. And that's why in Habakkuk 2, he says, though he tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. Meaning that if you're expecting something from God, though there are things delay. Hallelujah. And the delay is with respect to you, not with respect to God. He says, though it tarries, wait for it, it will not tarry. Amen. Because there's an appointed time by God for everything. So man is always having a desire. I want something in the next 1 month. I want something in the next 1 year. It's always that desire that man has. Hallelujah. And then we put a time to it. If time comes and we don't get it, we say that it is delaying. Hallelujah. But then God has a timing and a plan and a purpose for everyone. Hallelujah. And so that takes us back to Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says there, Psalm 32, please. Psalm 32 and verse 8 and verse 9, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you have this in the New Living Translation? And the New Living Translation says that I will lead you in the best pathway for your life. Psalm 32, verse 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Hallelujah. So he's saying that you should be mindful of the fact that his eye is upon you, okay, and then he will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And, you know, oftentimes we think we know the way. But God says, yeah, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And, you know, sometimes we have this habit of always saying, always quarreling within ourselves. But you see, the truth of the matter is that if you have 20 students in a class, one is always the best. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that all those students are not good, okay? But one is always the best. There's always an optimal way, and that optimal way, God knows. Hallelujah. There's always that way, that if you go this way, you won't encounter any problem. And you know, so certain times, or when the time is set, and when things begin to happen, then some people begin to create themselves. I say, I hope there will not be a problem in future. No, so you have been asking for something from God, and then it begins to happen one after the other. And then you now begin to worry and say, ah, this thing is coming so easy. That's the way God has designed it. Then you begin to worry, ah, I got this one, no problem. I got this one, no problem. Because your mind is set to be like that, you must struggle for things. God did not design us to struggle. Hallelujah. He gave his son so that, he says in John 10:10, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have life and have it more abundantly. So whenever you wake up and you see things happening, falling in line and falling in place for you, and then you begin to worry and say, ah, it's too smooth. That's the way life has been designed. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's just like I was describing in the morning, that when people are playing the game of table tennis and they are hitting the ball to the right, to the left, and they are not missing the table, it is because over time they have practiced. To you and I, it comes with it. To you and I, we look at them and say, ah, these people are playing this thing with ease. And then you say, maybe I can do it. And then you take hold of the bat, and you hit the first ball, and you see that it's not beans. That's what they say. When you hit the first one, and then they return the second one, and you say, ah, why is this thing like this? It's not that easy. Amen. It's because those men have over time mastered the game and the moving left and right, that they make things look easy. Amen. When things come easy for you, it's because you have mastered the way God wants you to do things. Hallelujah. And you are able to follow. It says, my eye will be upon you. Please go back to Psalm 32. It says, my eye will be upon you. I will lead you along the best pathway for your life. In Exodus chapter 14. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Then I will pause, I will skip, and then I go to verse 15, I think. Exodus 14, at the beginning. So, verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi, Ayeroth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden in Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am Lord. And they did so. Okay? So we're saying that, look, just tell the children that you should turn this way and go that way. He was leading them, okay? And he was telling them, go this way, go that way. He said, but, I mean, Pharaoh is going to come after you guys. And then there's going to be, he said, they will pursue, and then I will gain honor and over Pharaoh and his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am Lord. Okay. Now, verse 9 says, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the seaside, by Ayroth, before Baal Zephon. So, you know, if you were Moses and you see the Egyptian pursuing, what would be your reaction? What should be your reaction? So, in the first instance, God was telling Moses, this is going to happen. Tell them to go by Pi Ahiroth, okay? And then he says, I'm going to make Pharaoh pursue them. Now, the same Moses is saying that Pharaoh is actually pursuing them. So, if you were Moses, will you be perturbed that they were pursuing you? You should not be disturbed that they are pursuing you. Because God had already told you ahead of time that this is what is going to happen. And then it's at the place where he says that it's happening that it will happen. You shouldn't be perturbed, okay? Now, he says in verse 10, he says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall again see no more. You shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen. So Moses made bold. So when the people were complaining to Moses that these people are coming behind us, and of course they had nothing to fight with, I thought it was an army, great army that was coming after them. And then he said, it's just like when he said US was coming to Nigeria. And everybody was happy that they were coming to Nigeria. And I don't know why everybody was happy anyway, that they were coming to help us. And but always remember that nothing goes for nothing, okay? Except with God. And even with God, nothing goes for nothing. He expects that you worship him. Hallelujah. Amen. But doesn't demand from you what he will not give. He only says, obey me and follow me and be my foe. Okay? Okay, so now they are after them. And the children of Israel are like, why did you bring us out here to come and die in the wilderness? I don't even know why they were worried that they are going to die. Because if they were in Egypt, they would still die. And they are in the wilderness. So they said they prefer to die in Egypt because there are graves there that they will be buried. So you can see their thinking. Now they are complaining that there will be graves. they will die and they will bury them in graves in Egypt. But now they will die in the wilderness, no grave. I don't know how that is an important matter. Die is die. Abi? Because if they were complaining that if we were in Egypt, these people would not touch us, we would be alive, it would have been a different thing. Now they're saying you die, they will have grave. I don't understand. I don't truly understand. And then Moses made bold to tell them that, look, calm down. The Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. Now, Moses was, and I'm choosing my words very well, Moses made bold to tell them, but Moses was perturbed in his heart. He made bold to tell them because he was representing God. That, look, don't worry. The Egyptians you see today, you will not see them again no more. God will fight for you, blah, blah, blah. And then in verse 15, this is why I said Moses made bold. In verse 15, and then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. So between verse 14, go back to verse 14. He says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Between verse 14 and verse 15, Moses was disturbed on the inside of him. And he was talking to God and he was crying out to God. Alpha, now what is all this one? I have told these people that you know, that's what he will be telling God. Obviously, that's what he was telling God, because verse 15 says that, and the Lord said to Moses. So God was replying him. God was replying Moses. And he says, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Because in the first instance, when he was in the closet and God was giving Moses that instruction, he told him, these are the things I'm going to do. And then at the end of it, I am going to gain honor. Now, what happens most of the time is that we want to see, we always paint a picture of how we want things to go. Hallelujah. But then God paints a picture of how things will end. Amen. That's what the picture he gives us. He gives us the picture of how things will end. We are the ones that paint the picture of how things will go. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me tell you something. You know, when as young men, when I left the university, I wanted to buy a car. Why did I want to buy a car? Just so that they would know that I am out of the university. I am here, you know. So I would drive around. I would drive around the estate, and everybody would say, "Muyo," you know. That's why I wanted to buy a car. And then, you know. So somebody comes and says, "I want to sell my car," and I was happy because it was a family member. I said, "Okay, no problem." I didn't have money. I wanted to buy a car, so I was happy. And then the guy said, "No. I need someone that will pay me money." I said, "Okay." And I was angry that why would you not sell the car to me so I'll pay you bit by bit. The guy was just like, "No. I need someone that will pay." And then another person came and I said, "And how much was the car then?" "Oh, 60,000 naira." Seems like Pastor Jerry. That it was 6,000 naira. So another person says, "I want to sell a car," and the two of them were very close to me, and they chose not to see that I needed a car. That you can just say, "Oh yeah, take." And you know this life, you do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So I thought, I looked at them, and the two of them just sold their cars and made their money, and I was just angry with them. I was just like, these people are not following God. You know, I was just angry with them. Now, that was, so 5 years after that, when eventually there was an actual need for a car, I wasn't even praying, I was not doing anything about it. Somebody just said, "There's a car to be sold." I said, "Okay, no problem, there's a car to be sold, no problem." And then, first month went, the second month, the third month, the fourth month, the person still called, I said, "This guy is still waiting, if you want it, don't say you want it, and then we send it to you." Amen. Hallelujah. That's when God's timing. Are you getting what I'm saying? God's timing. No stress. Just said, "Okay, the car is here, blah, blah, blah." I said, "No problem." Now, you know, I told you somebody wanted a car. I wanted a car, and I was expecting people to give me a car, and then I'll pay later. Fast forward some years down the line, somebody also that thought that, "Look, this is my brother, I need a car," approached me and said, "I need a car." And we chose to sell one by one. Up to today, the person did not finish selling. But am I feeling bad? No. The person did not finish paying. But I'm not feeling bad. Because I laughed. I said, when I really did it, this was the way I was feeling. I was feeling like, this is divine. Can't you see that I need this thing? You should be able to let it go. Amen. Now, God had told Moses, and this is the way God is with us. He says he will lead us in the best pathway for our life. We can't know better than God when it comes to these things. Amen. We cannot. So the year has started and things are happening. And truly, I know a lot of us, you should understand, things will happen so fast this year. Okay? Things will happen fast. And don't be worried when things happen so fast. Just know that the things, the seeds that you sown in time past are beginning to germinate and it's time for harvest. Hallelujah. Things will happen so fast. And there are not things that will perturb you. There are things that will bring succor and rest to your mind. Hallelujah. But when they are coming, they will come one after the other. And don't be like, why is there no trouble? There cannot be a trouble because this is the way God wants it to happen. Amen. And I make bold to say that things will happen fast. From one thing to another, from one level of progress to another level of progress. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen. So God says, God said to him, "Why do you cry to me? Tell my people to go forward." You know what that means? That means that my word is enough to rest for you people to rest upon. Okay? So do not look back, neither should you be bothered. So when you see the wind boisterous and you see storms around, you have to stay still in God. Amen. In Deuteronomy, chapter 2. And I read from verse 2. And these things are about, it's just similar to what we were reading this morning, about the instructions that God is giving us. This morning we were looking at Bible school at Matthew chapter 18. And we're talking about the fact that we should be like the child. Please help me with Matthew 18. Matthew 18. He said we should be like the children because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then we looked at why would God say you should be like the children. Now, first thing is that there's level of humility, and then they are sincerely obedient to God. Okay? He says, whoever receives... No, I think it's verse 3. Yeah, he says, and assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And we looked at it and says, little children, they simply obey God. Okay, when God says move, they move. When he says stop, they stop. Okay, so when we go back to Exodus chapter 14, God had told Moses that this is going to happen, and he says, tell my people to go forward. Okay, now before they left Egypt, if you remember the story, before they left Egypt, he told them that they were going to leave Egypt with the spoils of Egypt. Okay, they were going to leave Egypt with gold, with silver, everything that they wanted. And so when they were going to eat the Passover, he said they should eat it with their... sandals on their feet, whatever on their girdle and their waist, okay, and then they should be ready. He says because once you eat it, you should be ready. You be ready to move, all right. And so when he struck the firstborn of Egypt, okay, there was wailing and crying in the land of Egypt, and then he said, "You people should just go." And then the Israelites went and asked for this. And the Egyptians were giving them everything they asked for. So they left with gold and a lot of things from Egypt. Okay? So those people, they did not remember that when they were in the wilderness and said, oh, we prefer the graves of Egypt to dying in the wilderness. But then they had gone far and they had gone a long way. And then go back to Deuteronomy chapter 2. God is telling them this one. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and the Lord, okay, let me take it from verse 1. It says, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. Now, from the point where they left Egypt to this point, it had been about the way God was asking them to move. Because he was the one that knows where he was leading them and why he was leading them. Amen. Okay, so it says here, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we scattered Mount Seir for many days. So they were going around Mount Seir for many days. Then at the point the Lord spoke, he says, and the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have scattered this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one full step, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trodding through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Okay? So, he's saying here that, look, I've seen that they were going around Mount Seir. And he says, look, okay, it's enough. This going round and round in circles is enough. And that's what he's saying to us this year. Okay, amen. That's what he's saying to us this year. He says, this is a year of marvelous help. Going round and round, around in circles is not. He says now you go northward, okay? You go northward and you have to follow the instructions of God. Things will happen. But when you get to where you are going, you know God is fond of telling them that this land, when you get there, is your possession. So they may be used to the fact that when you get to this land, it's your possession. But now he's telling them that this land you are passing through, don't think about taking anything there. You are only passing through because I've given this land to them. Not even a full step is what I'm giving to you. Now, God's instructions changes along the line. That's why you have to be very attentive when he's speaking. His instructions changes. If they are, you know, these people, they are warriors. They are men that they are used to fighting in the wilderness. They can just be like, we are passing through, he has told us to go northward. We are passing through Mount Sinai and then we are going to possess. No, their intention of going through Mount Sinai was not to possess, but was for them to pass by. Amen. For them to go through. Because he says that, in verse 7, he says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Amen. So if you look at the picture of the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, and then if you look at the way they were always complaining in the wilderness, God is saying that in the midst of all that their complaints, they lacked nothing. So why were they complaining? Because they could not see that God was with them. Hallelujah. They could not see. Now, the fact that you want something is different from when you need something. Are you getting me? When you need something, it is different from when you want it. Okay? Now, a need is something that is critical. You cannot do without it. A want is that it's just an icing on top of it. Do you know what icing is on cake? Icing is just a decoration on cake, right? So you have the cake, and then they put icing, they cover it. It's just a decoration, because now you and I know that. You and I know better that it's just decoration. When they give us cake that has icing, what do? We remove the icing, okay? Because it's not what we want. We want the substance, okay? Now, the need is the substance. And God is making sure that he provides us with the substance. When we were reading on Thursday, we read about the story of the manna. He sent them manna in the wilderness. Huh? And they were complaining, he sent them manna. And he said, look, everybody, according to your household, that's what he told them, according to your household, if you have 20 people in your house, carry 20 and take it home. If you have only 2 people in your house, take 2 and take it home. And the Bible records that everybody packed as much as he required, as much as they needed, and nobody had a lack. Meaning that everybody was satisfied. So the man that took 20 was satisfied. Now, if I'm taking 20, and Uche wants to take 20, and he doesn't need 20, it will be a problem. Because it ended up being a problem for them. God is saying that I meet your needs, I meet you according to your needs. Amen. And that's what's important. A lot of us, oftentimes, we always want the things that are not critical, the things that are just like an icing on the cake, and then we don't forget about the cake, and then we complain that we don't have the icing, yet you don't have the cake. So what do you want to do with icing without the cake? But God is saying, this is what he will do. Now, and then he's saying to them that, look, pass through this land, don't take anything from there. You do an exchange, you buy. And why was he saying that? Because he says, I have blessed you these 40 years. Hallelujah. And you have lacked nothing. Meaning that you should not turn your gaze off God. And this instance that is telling them, move through the land. He said, they have circled and circled and circled. But now he said, move northwards and go to where I'm leading you. But do not take anything. Do not think that is your possession. But buy what you need to buy. Exchange what it, because this land is not your own. Now, take it back to Psalm 32. It says, I will lead you in the best pathway for your life. There are instructions that he will give to us in the course of this year that we just need to follow. Don't assume that the instruction that he gave a week ago is the same instruction today. When he says, take possession, it means take possession. When he says, I will gather the inheritance of Eden and give to you, that's what he will do. But when he says, do not touch, hallelujah, amen. If you go back to Psalm 32, verse 9, Psalm 32, verse 9 says, do not be like a senseless mule us or mule that needs a bit and a bit to keep it under control. Give me the NKJV, verse 9. NKJV. It says, do not be like a horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be honest with a bit and beetle, else they will not come near you. So, I think I've explained this over and over this year, that usually the horse, you keep a ring or something, that's what they call a beetle, and then you keep a belt with it, so that if you want it to go to the right, you will tug it towards the right, and if it's going to the left, you will tug it. Okay? Now, it says, you don't need to be like that to be kept under control. All he wants you to do is to be obedient and keep to his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So as we journey through this life, in Isaiah 42, verse 16, these are the words that he spoke. He says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. It says, these things I will do for them and not forsake them. Amen. In a place, you know, that was sometime last year, my son and I we traveled in the evening, very late. We had not been there before. We just went late at night. But we were late in the evening, and then we ended up getting there late in the night. But then we were following, Google Map. And so we didn't know where we were going. We need a direction. So what we got, we were seeing habitation left, right, we were fine. And then suddenly the direction we took, we ended up with thick bush on the right and thick bush on the left. And we could see that the path that we were following, it wasn't a road. It was like a bush path. And then we kept going and going. And my son said, Daddy, this thing is not ending anywhere. I said, my son, I know. Don't worry. I know where to turn back. And then we kept going. And then he kept telling us that there's way at the end. And then we made a U-turn. We went back. And then I recalibrated it. And then again, it took us back to that same place. I said, no. Then I said, okay, you know what? I can remember where we turned off the main road. Let's go back there. You know, and then when we got back there, the thing was telling us that it would take us another 1 hour to get to where we're going. I don't even know what that thing was thinking that night. I don't know. I said, God, I cannot be here. In fact, I called my wife. I said, I don't know where we are. Just again. I said, I don't know where we are, but at least we are somewhere. And I said, be coming back home. I said, no, I'm not coming back home. That we have come this far, we'll get to where we're going. And then I just said, God, what is all this problem? How can we be here? We are the sheep of your pastor. How can we be here? So, and then the thing said, we're going for the next 1 hour, and it was already 8:30 in the night. I said, ah, no, it cannot be you. I said, God, you will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. So which way are we supposed to take? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just saw a U-turn. He said, make this U-turn. Because he said, make this U-turn here. And then I made a U-turn. And then in 5 minutes, we got to where we are going. Oftentimes, when we think we know the way, or we think we have help, because I just looked at it that we left here around 6 p.m. or 6:30. That 1 hour will be there now. I didn't bother praying about it. I just pointed it, go, let's go. And then when we found that it was not help anywhere, I remember that there's help on the inside. That's the mistake we should not make. Because by the time, to make matters worse, by the time we got to the hotel that we had booked to sleep that night, this one said, because you didn't show up and you didn't pay ahead of time, there's no hotel. There's no place to sleep. I looked at him, I said, oh boy, we'll sleep inside this car. There's nothing. He was looking at me. I said, no, don't worry. Okay, let's go and look for another place. You know, I will make phone calls and then we found a place that was almost 5 minutes away from where we were going in the morning. You know, and that's what we need to do. He says, I will lead you. He says, this is the thing I will do. And now, these are the things I will do for them, and I will not forsake them. Provided we just sell ourselves, we are truly sold out to Christ, we are truly sold out to God, these are the things that we will do. It's a new month, and I know that a lot of people, many people, we will celebrate the new month, we will greet ourselves the new month. But beyond that, we need to take milestones and say, look, from the beginning of the year to this point, where have I been with regard to what God has told me? And then from this point onwards, where do I want to be? Or where should I be based on what God has told me? Amen. We are not walking this life alone. That's what God is trying to tell us. We are not walking this path alone. Amen. We have to depend on Him. Now, when the Israelites got to Mount Seir, and He said, go not what? You know that when they are passing through that land, they were not going to meet with any resistance. You know, because God said, go through that land. If they were going to meet with a resistance, God would have told them ahead of time. Never you think that you are alone in your walk. God always, always, always tells us ahead of time the things that lay ahead. He tells us the end of His game plan. He says, this is the end, and this is the beginning, and this is the end. And then along the line, all you must know that you are going to get to the end that God has designed for you. He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Yeah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. These are the thoughts He has of us. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. Amen. But then we also need to align ourselves with His thoughts. Okay? So that which He has said He wants to give to us, we have made ourselves accessible and receptive to the things that He wants to give to us, or that He has given to us. God is in the business of making our life easy. Hallelujah. He's in the business of giving us a pathway that we will not stumble. Amen. That we will not fall. Hallelujah. But we also have to be in that business, realizing and trusting in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, some 20 years ago, when I made a decision, or when I chose to get married, I told you that I told you then, I said I was going to get married, so I looked for Pastor BJ to be my best man. And why did I make Pastor BJ my best man? I said, I need help. I need God to help me during that program. And I know that Pastor BJ, every time Pastor BJ does not, when he's sitting down here like this, he's always praying. So I know that if me, I'm busy looking at the face of the bride, signing, somebody will be praying. So I said, Pastor BJ, you be the best man. You know? But then something happened along the line. When God will send a message to me, He sent a message and He wrote there, you will not be stranded. That was 20 years ago. And each time in this journey, that it looks like the end looks bleak, I always remember this, you will not be stranded. And this is God's word. He says His word will not return to Him void. Hallelujah. Until it has accomplished that which has been sent forth to accomplish. Amen. So if you are not trapping or hearing or getting God's word, what are you going to rely on when there is a problem? Amen. If you are not holding on to God's word, you don't even have God's word to hold on to, what are you going to fall back on when the journey looks rough? Hallelujah. But know that when the journey looks rough, it's not that God is not there, that you have to search Him out in that journey and be able to trust Him. See, when God told Moses in Exodus 14, He said, these are the things that are going to happen. When the Israelites began to see the things happen and they were fretting, Moses made bold to tell them, don't worry. The Egyptians you see today, now God did not tell him that the Egyptians you see today, God did not tell him that the Egyptians you see today will not see them anymore. What God told him was that everything will end in an honor. Moses was made bold to look at this and say, okay, this is what is going to happen. If it is going to end in an honor, that means that this trouble will cease. That's what it is. So he interpreted it and told them in a language that they will understand. That look, these people you see today, you see them no more. And then God said, tell them to go forward. So in the midst of what looked like a chaos, they were able to go forward, keeping their gaze on God. This morning when we were praying, we were looking at Peter. But Peter was, when Jesus told Peter, to walk on water, Peter said, bid me come. And then he started moving. And when the Bible says, when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And we know And people say, some people say that, but there's no Jesus now. No, there is Jesus now. Hallelujah. There's no physical Jesus. There is Jesus now. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? And he did what? Eh? He came to dwell among us. Hallelujah. Amen. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the time past, God, through the prophets, he spoke to us. But now, in this time, he's speaking to us through his Son. Hallelujah. Who is what? The Word of God. Amen. So when you read in the Word of God, and it resonates in your spirit, that is bidding you come. Hallelujah. It's as good as Jesus saying to you, come. And then you walk with that Word of God, and you walk, and you move to God. But if there is no instruction, or if you, even if you cannot pick that instruction, what are you going to be walking with? Amen. If it's going to lead us in the best pathway for our life, I think 2 weeks ago, I heard this thing say, if you're going to lead us in the best pathway for our life, it has to be that we are walking with the Word of God, and we are following His Word. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, this will be the last one I'm going to talk about. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 17. Says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you should put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which goes corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. And righteousness means, simple meaning of righteousness, is right standing with God. Amen. Once you have a right standing with God, you will be thinking holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll be thinking holiness because you renew your mind and you'll be walking after the things that interest God. And it says in verse 20, we have not so learned Christ. So everything we have learned from Christ, we need to put them to act. We need to put them into action so that at the end of the day, we will show that we have been created in the true righteousness and holiness of God. Amen. We rise to our feet. Let's talk to God this morning, that indeed every word of His, every word of comfort around us, every word of promise concerning us, that indeed as we walk in this new month, as we walk, we step into the things that He has provided for us, because we are following Him and we are being obedient. And most importantly, we keep our hearts in a state of readiness. It says truly that we see the true holiness and righteousness that is in the creature of God. And so thank Him, because we will do the things that He expects us to do. We will be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And then we will follow according to His instructions, so that we will see the end that God intends for us to see. Even as things will be happening so fast, be able to give all the glory to God. Not because of any other thing, but because of who He is. Our lives will be sold out to Him, and we'll end up coming back with testimonies in Jesus' name. Father, we give You all the glory and praise. Let Your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.